Hey guys, welcome to Tannins and Tunes. I'm Jessica, and I just wanted to let you know that our website is live. Go and check it out. Sign up for your tasting notes so that you can get to know the wines that we've talked about, all the things that they tasted like, the musical that we paired it with. Also, Jimmy is here with us for the summer. So get ready. This next episode is just me. But don't worry, I'm going to have a co-host again soon. Jimmy is coming back next episode, and you might get to hear him at the end of this episode, so stay tuned. Also, subscribe to us on iTunes and leave a review. Let us know what you're thinking. Talk to you soon.
Get me out of here.
And because Peter's home all day, and he loves to be around people.
Yeah.
And he just hates, like...
So when he's not, he's like, how dare you neglect me?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like suitcases, so right now, with, like, all the packing stuff, he just hates it.
They're so moody. I, like, have never been a cats person, but then doing cats, I've started, like, researching cats, like, hanging out with cats. And they're so... like calculated.
Yes.
Like everything is like, oh, like they all have ulterior motive behind everything.
Always.
You're like, wait, I just want a dog who just like loves me.
Right.
this cat is like out to get me.
Now the fields are dead and bare. No choix de vivre anywhere. And maintenant we drink a beer. Wine. For 10 days, we used to know. Where have they gone? Where did they go? Eh bien, raise your berets.
Welcome to Tannins and Tunes. I'm Jessica Humphrey, and I am your only host for today. So get excited, everybody. And today I have with me Christine Cornish Smith.
Hello.
And we're so excited to have her. I say we as like the proper we. So excited to have Christine. Christine and I actually grew up dancing together back in the day.
I know, that's crazy. Like 15 years ago.
Right.
What?
Old.
Right. That's exactly how I feel. And every time I take a ballet class.
Yes, I feel you on that.
Craziness. Yep, we used to do ballet together in Dallas, and then musical theater also in Dallas. So,
do you remember the Rockford Peaches?
Yes.
Musical about, well, it was based off of A League of Their Own.
Yep.
That was a smash hit in Plano, Texas.
The new musical. A good time, especially when I learned that not only could I not dance, but I couldn't play baseball at the same time.
Oh, no. Not at all. We, like, practiced on an actual field. I was like, this is just bound to be a disaster.
Exactly.
I think we, like, did pretty well, though.
I think so, yeah. For having to time baseball drills to music, which I don't think anyone should have to do ever.
No.
That was not good.
Unless you're getting paid a lot of money. Yeah, then I will do that.
Right?
Any day.
We were not being paid any money. No money whatsoever.
No money.
Well, Christine is currently playing Bone Ballerina in Cats the Musical, which is super, super exciting.
Super avant-garde. Like, nobody's heard of it.
No,
like,
no,
what
no.
is
super
Cats?
New. Exactly. So I've found that people either love cats or they hate cats.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are there those people that you talk to and you're like, I mean, cats, and they're like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, I think cats, especially our version, is something that does pleasantly surprise people because it has, you know, it is, especially when it came out, it was like so just weird and no one wanted to see a musical about these animals and what are they doing that like making a fool of themselves, and like it was so kind of just no one had ever done anything like it,
right?
And so yeah, people formed very strong opinions about it because you know, it is, you kind of have to be open and ready to go along for this ride where there isn't really a plot in a traditional musical theater sense of the word, you know, it's not
right,
but it definitely does have a theme, and there is there are intentions and there's, you know, a lesson to be learned and there's all of that. But, you know, you have to be open-minded to appreciate
definitely
all that is cats. But yeah, I think the people that have come, I don't know if they're just being nice to me, but they're always like, I liked that. Like, they're very surprised that they liked it. I'm like, I know, right? It, you know.
It's fun. It's really fun.
Yeah.
I was a cats hater.
Yeah.
Like, such a cats hater until I did the show for not on Broadway, listeners. Not even close to Broadway. The Dutch Apple Dinner Theater.
Ooh. What cat did you play?
I was Rumpelteazer.
Yes, Rump.
And it was a good time. It was a good time. But I hated it until I did it. Mm-hmm. Because I think that if you don't understand that there really is a plot.
Yeah.
And like you said, like, there are lessons that are learned within it. And there's growth and change.
Yeah. And it's been very interesting because, you know, I go to the stage door and some people... I mean, there are people who are Cats fans that are like crying at the stage door. They're so affected by the work. They're, you know, they have all these meanings that they've kind of come up that have to do with the show on their own. You know, they're like, oh, it really hit me how much about it was about forgiveness and it was about community and it was about coming together and, and, you know, learning to forgive and move forward. You know, like, people have all these different meanings. They kind of get to decide what it is about for themselves.
Right.
And
right.
I think a lot of, especially we have a lot of kind of kids and teens and people coming of age that really love
right,
this show.
Right.
And I think because they can see themselves in at least one of the characters on stage. And that was something that we really tried to work on in this show was, okay, this is all great, but how is this going to affect the audience? How does the audience feel validated? You know, they want to be able to see, oh, Bomb Ballerina. Yeah. I do feel like that when I go out to the club, like, I feel that sexy. Or, you know, if they see Grisabella, they're like, I remember a time in my life where I felt so isolated.
Right.
And they all of a sudden feel validated. And I think that's where Cats really does affect people, is they kind of can see the human aspect of this kind of like weird Cats play, you know?
I love that. So what was, I want to know a little bit of your process in terms of like audition, beginning of rehearsals, that type of stuff. How was that for you?
Yeah. Well, about Cats specifically or like...
Cats specifically and just a little bit of your history. Tell our listeners all about yourself.
Yes. Well, let's see. Well, as you know, I grew up in Dallas.
Yeah.
I started off as a ballet dancer primarily, and that was like the dream, you know. I spent my summers at School of American Ballet up here, and that's what I wanted to do. And then I saw Sweeney Todd, like the revival with Patti LuPone and Michael Cera.
Oh, my gosh.
And it changed my life. And I remember so vividly being in that theater being like, wait, hold on. I want to do this. And then I started wanting to do that. And then I actually got injured pretty badly, which had me stop. I couldn't dance for like 6 months. And that's when I got into singing way more because, you know, what else am I supposed to do? So I just sang a bunch. And so weirdly, that was a blessing in disguise because it really like launched me into like the more theater and singing part of it. And then I went to school in Cincinnati, Cincinnati College Conservatory of Music.
From
musical theater. Yeah, it sounds so fancy. From musical theater, went there for 4 years. It was a roller coaster. And then I moved up to New York. Well, actually, I worked in Chicago for a little bit, at Chicago Lyric Opera for like 2 months, which helped me like save up money to come to New York.
Right.
Because dang, I mean, I was like, when I first moved here, I was splitting a tiny studio apartment in Queens. Like, so my rent cost was pretty low, but
space was like,
yeah,
size of a normal,
as you
like,
know,
bathroom.
Like money goes pretty quickly.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
Yeah, then we moved up here and, you know, did the thing. Like, I was non-ec, like, girl number 8,100,000, you know, and just was going to all these auditions.
Waiting
and,
in the snow.
Yeah, like.
4 a.m.
Yeah, it's like, and especially when I first moved here, like, we didn't have these online signups that they have now.
No.
So it was always, like, me getting up at 5 a.m.,
yep.
like, you know, taking the train into New York to like Pearl Studios, signing up and just waiting, and then half the time not getting seen.
Yep.
All that.
I feel like such an old lady whenever I go to the Equity building and I'm like, well, the old audition center.
Yeah. Totally.
With the wooden benches.
I know. That's all these new. Well, I didn't realize that like Telsey is no longer. I hadn't been for an audition in like a year, like, you know, this past 2 weeks ago. And I went to the old Telsey and I was like in the elevator and I was like, where's Telsey? And now it's in Midtown. It's like,
yeah, yeah. Right. They moved and like, yeah, everything is changing. I feel old.
I know. Anyways, back to the subject. But yeah. So then my first job actually was, a national tour of Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. And I didn't know anything about the show, didn't even want to do that show, but Andy Blankenbuehler was the choreographer.
Right.
And he was like, my dream choreographer. Because I had taken a class from him like my freshman year and was like, oh my God. So I went to the audition, but it was just like open call, you know, and thankfully he is really good about going to all the open calls and seeing all the like millions of people that go through.
That's so lovely.
Yeah. Which is so refreshing. And he's so great. So I went through all the like, you know, freaking like 8 auditions or whatever and booked that. So that was like my first big job.
That's great.
And then went from there. I don't know. Then finished that. I was on that tour for about a year. Learned how to like do 8 shows a week, which is a skill that they do not teach you in school.
Nope. No way.
Especially for like on tour where, you know, I learned a lot, you know, and from working with a lot of people who had done this for a while. So
that's
just like new, like, I don't know, I'm just happy to be here. And they were able to kind of give me some realities and some truth. And
put some cynicism in you.
Right. Yeah. So you come back a little. And yeah, then I did some regional gigs and then I did Cats. I got Cats. Largely because of Andy Blankenbuehler.
That's great.
I do not think I would have gotten this show if it weren't for him. Which, you know, that's a whole other topic, like networking and
knowing
people. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of this business is about like just trust and continuing to persevere and like creating relationships where people want to hire you because they trust you to
exactly. That's
carry forth the role.
That's what it all is. It's all about who you know.
Yeah.
And it can work out to be great or it can work out to be terrible.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, I always tell like, you know, if I go back and teach, I'm sure you're the same, like high school or eighth grade or something like that. And a lot of them have this idea that it's like about being a diva and like all these things. And I'm like, it is not like that. Be a good person because like people, especially now, there's too many amazingly talented people. Like, you can't have an attitude. People won't want to hire you. And like, you know,
just be careful about what you say to anyone and on social media. And oh my gosh, that's like a whole topic that I go over as well.
Yeah.
So while we're here, let's drink some wine because we can talk with wine in our hands. So today we are tasting the Tu Vin Plus aux Soirées, which technically means, I'm not entirely sure how it translates, but it's a pun on you're no longer welcome at this party.
Ooh.
Because
so exclusive.
Right? And it's because the winemaker, Fabien Jouvray, I believe, is using 50% Cabernet Franc and 50% Malbec. Oh, Abel the cat has joined us in the studio and is getting real fresh.
He knows I'm a cat.
Exactly. Hashtag Abel the cat. He has his own hashtag. It's cool. It's fine. He's famous. He's more famous than me. He uses 50% Malbec and 50% Cabernet Franc. And in Cahors, where this wine is made, Cabernet Franc is technically an illegal grape.
Oh.
So he is telling Cabernet Franc, like, you're not welcome at this party.
Oh.
Which is super fun. This Fabien Jouvray is known for being like the bad boy of wine and Cahors.
Oh, wow.
He has a wine that's like, I think it's called like don't fuck with this wine or something, mm-hmm. which is another like play on somebody told him not to put something in a wine and he did. And he's literally the bad boy. But this wine is so, so fun. I couldn't think of a wine that'd be more perfect for cats. If you look at the label, it like has emojis basically on it, like little masks. Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
So it kind of like gives you that party feel, which I feel like cats is a big party. That's basically the whole plot. It's going to a party.
Yeah.
And using this like super young guy to make this wine. So let's pour a little bit. Okay. I know. This is the most exciting part of the show, and our listeners can't see it. It's kind of sad.
Well, they can just imagine.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And here we go for mine. Great.
Oh, cheers.
Cheers. This is a really, really cool wine. It's like basically a natural wine. So it's made with, natural wines usually have no sulfites in them. Mm-hmm. And this is made with just like a little bit of sulfites and farmed biodynamically. And it's like all this different stuff going on in it in terms of like being good for the environment and not really touching the grapes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And like let the grapes do their own thing. I think that's kind of this winemaker's principle is like, I'm just here to make good wine. Mm-hmm. These grapes are already going to be awesome because this region is awesome and I'm treating them in the way that they need to be treated.
Yeah.
And so the wine is going to be great. You're going to love it.
Like it's such a craft of its own, you know.
It seriously is. Yeah. So this looking at it, it's like a deep red rubyish color. Kind of like a medium body to it. Yeah, like kind of like a fluorescent pink when you look at it over like a white sheet of paper. You kind of have like a fluorescent tinge to it, which I think is actually kind of cool. And then if we smell it, you get like this sweet meatiness to it. Kind of like, I don't want to say like stewed cherries, but that's kind of what it is. Like a dessert a little bit without being sweet. It just has like a...
Yeah.
Like a stewedness to it, like stewed apples.
Yeah, like a deep, like a,
Yes. And it's like juicy and berry. You get like blueberries and blackberries on there. And then tasting it, it's so smooth, but it also has like a little bit of pepper in it too.
Yeah. It's not like a lot of, sometimes I go for white wine more because red wine, like, I don't like the bitterness of it, but this has, it's like, it's smooth, sweet, but like with a kick kind of.
Exactly.
So it's not like grape juice, you know?
No, definitely. Yeah. And I think that's from it being so well treated. I find this in a lot of natural wines, that it's really the sulfites that give me that like puckering feeling at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the acidity, because the acidity in this is like, it's a great medium acidity, really balanced, fits within the wine. It doesn't make me pucker though. And I really do think that that's attributed to how it's grown and how it was made, which is great.
Made with love.
So much love and so much like also just not giving a fuck. Like, like it's just gonna be good, just trust me.
That's
great,
a perfect blend,
right?
Like, love and not giving us that. Like I would love to drink that,
right?
And we are.
That's exactly what this is. Think like Shiraz but without being as peppery, rustic. This is a great wine. You could pair this with barbecue, anything with like a honey glaze on it, because it has enough juiciness and berryness to stand up against that sweetness. Pork, cool proteins like rabbit or venison, something like that.
Like a really good meat.
It goes well with proteins, but you could also do it, I mean, I would have this with like anything.
And I love the packaging. Like, it's fun. It would be a great
super
party
fun. And I think that this pairs so nicely with cats. It's a fun wine.
It does,
super unique. It can stand up to longevity.
Yeah.
and super duper fun. Yeah. So go and check this out. We have this at VTL Harlem, 127th and St. Nick. That's where I work. Come and talk to me about the party wine.
You're such a wine connoisseur. Oh, wait, what do they call a wine?
A sommelier is typically that. But I tell people all the time, I'm like, I don't want to be a sommelier because I hate serving people wine. Yeah.
Like, but, I just want to know everything about it, right? But not, yeah.
Like, but I don't want to know, like, what temperature to serve it at. Because, like, I don't care. Because I'm going to come home and pop up some popcorn and have a glass of wine. Yeah. I just want to know which one it should
like
have.
Like a casual sommelier.
Right,
like
exactly.
Laid back sommelier.
Yes. Yep. So I would normally, this is when Jonathan and I would typically do lightning round, boom, 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 and like throw you questions, but we're just going to like chat.
Fuck the lightning round.
Right. He's not here. I can't come up with things that quickly. Okay. So tell me about, and it doesn't have to be in Cats. It can be like in any show ever, your most embarrassing moment.
Oh my God, so many. probably there are many. The first one that is coming to mind is, I was on the tour, Joseph tour, and we were performing at this big outside theater in Kansas City. And it's this huge, like, amphitheater, you know, and I didn't realize that they have not a bat problem, but like they have bats that just like hang out. And, I was playing Ruben's wife who like, you know, she's like a teeny tiny role, but she has this one little part where she like gets up on the rock and she's like, you know, and,
I know exactly when you're talking about.
And so I remember like we were doing the number and like, it was beautiful outside. It was like, you know, the sun was setting, And, and I thought they were like birds, like fly. I was like, wow, the night birds are coming out, you know? And like, I just, you know, was being a typical blonde and was like, okay, beautiful. It's so pretty. And I'm up on the rock singing and a bat comes like flying like in my face because they're blind. So they like, don't know what the fuck is happening. And I'm in the middle of my song and I literally like, like went up like so high. All of a sudden I was like a college hero soprano. And yeah, that was definitely a moment because it was like, just, you know, I couldn't cover that up.
That's terrifying. Yeah.
And so then for the rest of the week, I was like deathly afraid of these bats, like while I was on stage. So I gave the most like cautious performances that week.
Sorry, Kansas City.
Yeah. I'm sure there's more. I'd have to like brainstorm, but you know, that's one of many.
That
I mean,
a really good one. Yeah. Have you had any experiences with, audience members coming up to you after the show and like telling you something like so profound and heartfelt that
definitely, especially with this show with Cats, we've had a lot of teens that are either, you know, they're in the struggling with their gender identity or their, you know, their sexual orientation or a lot of those things. And I think Cats is such it touches them so deeply because it does kind of play, there are a lot of characters that are gender neutral, you know, like the, Corticopat and Tantamile and a lot of Skimble Shanks or, you know, and you don't, a lot of the relationships are questionable and it is a show where you can, kind of, it isn't the traditional musical theater where there's not, you know, the boy falls in love with the girl and then they kiss and then that's kind of the narrative of all those shows. And I think this show offers something for the imagination and they find a lot of identity with the show. And it's been really touching to see a lot of them have come to the shows, you know, 10, 20 times. And, but I think because they find community just watching the show and it's also weird and they feel weird and they're like, you know, I was like a weird theater kid nerd. And so I see a lot of myself in them. And even, you know, there was a girl a couple weeks ago that she had like Let the Memory Live Again tattooed on her arm. And at first I was like, whoa. But then she told me this beautiful story about how her and her grandmother used to sing it together. And her grandmother recently passed away and she got this tattoo like in honor of her and how much the show means to her, you know. And so it's really touching to hear all these people's stories and how affected they are by Cats. I mean, who knew? Cats.
Yeah. Literally, when I was doing Cats, at the time, my boyfriend would come up with these different lyrics for cat songs because he saw it. I mean, I had to say it like 3 or 4 times.
Oh, yeah.
And he would just, after you've seen it once.
Oh, yeah.
Especially the Dutch Apple Dinner Theater.
So, and the thing is, this is another slightly embarrassing story, but there are so many words, and there's so many words that we don't usually say because they're T.S. Eliot, they're, you know, British, and, you know, we don't say a lot of those terms, and a lot of the words are, like, made up, too.
Yep.
But there was one show where I was just, like, really feeling myself in the cavity, and I was supposed to go, his coat is dusty from neglect, and I was like, his dote is custy from the hair. Like, just got, like, had a stroke on stage, like, just totally lost it, and no one could make eye contact with me for the rest of the show, like, and people have had those moments in our show because there's so many words, and people mix up the words, and then they're just, like, done for the rest of the phrase.
The naming of cats was mine, like,
you're just
couldn't get it together. Every time, and I would always like make sure to turn from the audience a little bit so that they didn't know that I didn't know.
I'm just having a cat moment over here, but I don't know what I'm saying. I definitely can relate to that.
My favorite one that he did, I think, was turning Bustopher Jones into Skinny Ass Hoes, and made up an entire song.
Oh my god!
About
amazing
these prostitutes that were hanging out outside the theater.
I would love to hear that.
It's a good one. It's a good one. I have a really crazy cat story. Our listeners know that I have the craziest understudy experiences. Mm-hmm. Like I don't know why that's my thing, but it's my thing. And I was playing Rumpelteazer, but I was understudy for Jenny Anydots.
Mm-hmm.
And our Jenny got sick one day and she threw up before the performance.
Oh.
And she was like, it's okay. Like, I'm still going to do it. It's going to be fine. I was like, okay, great.
Yeah,
like, I don't know. I don't actually know your part. So great. Like, you really need to go on.
I have nightmares about that.
It's so terrifying. So she does her song, comes off stage and is like, I can't do the rest of this. Like, I physically cannot sing. And you have to do this. And I was like, great. Okay. I need to go over your song, but it's cats. You're on stage the whole time.
There is no hiding. There's no like, go look at your note cards. Like,
No. So I excused myself from Rum Tug Tugger.
Yeah.
Like by friends. And the only person that I could tell was the dance captain.
Yeah.
To be like, okay, I have to go do this. And so everybody's like, where's Jess? Like, what's going on? And I go out and I do Rumpelteazer.
Mm-hmm.
And that song is so
hard.
Crazy. Yeah, like
aerobic,
you're doing acrobatics, you're singing.
Yeah.
And I don't know why for our production it was like super high.
Uh-huh.
Like, insane. So then we go off stage and I immediately turn around, come back on stage to sing Bustopher Jones. And that's, it was
amazing.
You're like,
wait, is that the same girl?
Yeah, exactly.
The same cat?
Like, yes, it is the starring Rumpelteazer show today.
It's definitely, it's a marathon of a show. Like,
oh, God.
And if anything, I'm like, well, at least I like don't have to go to the gym doing this show.
Because, definitely not.
Like,
definitely
just
not.
Being a cat for 2.5 hours is like a great workout.
Right.
But yeah.
And
talk
to me about the makeup a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Because I hated mine. I loved it. I loved it, and that like I got to look like a cat, but I hated putting it on.
Yeah. You know, now we're on our, 350th show or more, you know, we've been doing this for so long. It almost now has become, like, part of the process for me, and I actually really enjoy it. It, like, you know, helps me sort of get into the character, and it's like a meditation, sort of, in
definitely,
a way.
Definitely, yeah.
But, yeah, it's nice because we get to do we all do our own makeup.
Yeah, that is great.
Which I like.
Yes.
You know, if I'm running late, I can, like, slap it on.
Right.
but, yeah, it's definitely, it's a big part of the show. It's a big part of the job.
Do you have anything within your makeup design that, like, you put in there yourself? Or?
I mean, I would say all of our makeup plots have sort of morphed a little bit over time.
Yeah, of course.
You know, kind of. But we were very lucky in that they wanted to for this specific revival, we had a lot of the same, you know, the same costume designer, this mm-hmm. from the original London production, right. The same wig designer, the same set designer, all those things. Mm-hmm. But they wanted to move away from the very kind of clown-like, you know, like mask. Right. Like the original was very, I mean, very intense.
Right.
Like, and they wanted to sort of, Andy and the team wanted to sort of make us a little more human.
Mm-hmm.
And so a little lighter on the makeup, a little more human features coming out besides all the, you know, hardcore kind of like mask.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That's
so that's super neat.
Yeah. So that, and it's also nicer cause we're not having to do as much makeup, I think, right, as the right. original. But you know, it's still a lot of face paint.
Yes. And during, like, if you have two shows,
mm-hmm.
do you just stay in the theater all day?
I actually take it off because yeah. by the end of the show, you're like disgusting and crunchy and sweaty and just like crusty.
You're
like, yep. Get this makeup off of me. And I really like to take the makeup off, totally take out my pin curls, everything, like go outside,
right.
like go eat outside, meet a friend for like something
right.
to get out and then re-enter. There are some times when I'll just like stay at the theater and sleep mm-hmm. if I'm like really exhausted, but
right.
it's good for me at least. Everyone has their own process, but I like to get out and like restart, like come back, redo the makeup, redo everything.
That's great.
To sort of like, you know,
right. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Just get back in that space again.
Yeah. Yeah.
I totally get that.
Yeah.
And the crunchiness. It's real gross, guys.
Yeah. We get pretty, you know, it's a physical show, as you know,
yeah.
you know, so it's impossible to finish the show and not feel really sweaty and gross. So.
Do you all have your little personal fans?
We don't. I mean, we have like AC in the room where
okay.
all of the girls are in one big dressing room, which we actually have not killed each other yet.
Wow.
So pretty amazing. No, it's luckily a really good group of ladies.
I'm sure.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's definitely.
It gets real sweaty and
yeah.
real gross. And yeah, we had like three fans because we were basically in like our dressing rooms were like kind of added on later. Mm-hmm. So we didn't have air conditioning back there.
Yeah.
And so we each had personal fans.
Yeah.
But by the end of the run, there were only like three left.
So we were like crowding around.
Yep.
Again. Yeah.
Exactly. Or my Mungo and I would like steal them during. Because we had 2 seconds of a break
yeah.
after our number
yeah.
where we got to go off stage, which was so nice.
Yeah.
And we just used the fan and then steal them.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah.
So tell me, what's one thing on Broadway that you're like super excited about right now? Like, that makes you really, really
yeah.
excited?
I mean, I'm just so excited that that Broadway is, you know, it's kind of like a hot thing right now
right.
and it's really it's reached because of as much as you know there's like I have like a love-hate relationship with the internet and social media and phones and all these things
right.
but you know I think like Hamilton coming out and the soundtrack coming out and it's able to reach like everyone can get a hold of that music and then they're like oh I didn't realize I could like musicals so much
exactly
and
yeah
reaching a wider and wider set of audience of people and you know a bigger demographic
mm-hmm.
that as Broadway goes on and that's just really inspiring to me and I think you know it because we're in this world of like instant gratification and like oh everything I need I could see on a screen or I could
right.
get my you know it's like an 8-year-old now has like 3D games and everything so
I can't
yeah it's crazy but it is refreshing to know that like people still want to have a live experience and they want
yes.
to like you know experience that human connection and mm-hmm. see it in person and,
right
and you know it's really uplifting to me that you know it still exists and I think it always will. I think there's a reason why theater has withstood the test of time. You know,
I would
people
agree.
Need that. Cultures need that.
Right.
Like we need the arts. Like that's a whole other thing. But yeah, I'm excited that Broadway is seeming to reach all different kinds of people now more than ever before.
We are definitely in a golden age.
Yeah.
I think. And with what's coming out, I mean, we
yeah.
have the level of shows that are coming out right now, not to say that, you know, My Fair Lady wasn't fantastic in its
yeah.
time, but the stuff that's coming out today is also amazing.
Yeah. Well, there's so, I mean, I think this year we've had more new musicals than ever before. Like, there's something like 34 new musicals that came out this season.
That's insane.
Which is crazy. I mean, but that's so exciting. It's like there is so much inspiration and there's so many people who are wanting to create and, you know, people who are willing to take chances on these musicals. It's very expensive and it's hard to put up a musical now. And, you know, people are willing to take that leap. And yeah.
I agree wholeheartedly with everything you just said.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you just did Contact, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I mean, speaking of like connections and networking, it kind of, I had done, well, I basically made a relationship with Susan Stroman doing this Crazy for You production that we did at Lincoln Center in like February.
With Tony, right?
Yeah, with Tony Yazbek and Laura Osnes and a bunch of like really awesome people. So that was a little bit crazy. I was doing like both Cats and Crazy for You at the same time, like tapping all day and then being a cat at night.
Oh God, no joke.
So that was crazy. But I was really glad I did it because I was able to solidify a great relationship with Susan Stroman, who's someone that I've looked up to for like my whole life. And, you know, I had like done her version of Oklahoma at the Muni. I played Lori there, which I think she had to like approve the tapes or whatever. So that was like, you know, I was like, oh, that's the closest I'll ever get to working with Susan Stroman. Like having her maybe watch that tape. Like, but yeah, so anyways, I had a great relationship with her. And then I got this email one day from this random person. I thought I was being punked because Girl in the Yellow Dress is a dream role for me. And, you know, he was just like offering it to me, saying that like Stroh like texted him saying, oh, here's your girl, Christine Cornish Smith. Yeah. And I was like, okay. And
it
was just for, I was like, I guess I'll do it. Like, sure. But yeah, so it was just, this Lincoln Center gala honoring Andre Bishop, who's the lead producer, director, artistic director at Lincoln Center. He's done so many amazing things. I didn't even realize till I did this gala. I was like, wait, he's huge. But we just did, you know, like a little 5-minute segment from Contact, and it was just such a great experience. I worked with a lot of the original Contact members and, you know, got to hear a lot of their stories. And
that's so cool.
And got to, you know, wear this, like, you know, I went to the William Ivy Long Studios, like, get fitted for my dress. I was like, crazy. But, you know, like, everything, it was, like, one night, and then it was done. And I was like, well, but, you know, hopefully it'll be revived. You know, we'll see. So,
always.
Yeah, it was cool. But it was just another example of, like, be nice to people, because that was just something that I just got out of nowhere because
you never know who's
going to
text.
Yeah, you never know Stroh's going to text. Like, what? So, yeah.
Oh, that's super cool. Yeah. So, last thing, just, I'm trying to think of, like, something really good to end on, and it's going to be, like, something stupid, I know.
never.
So, tell me something. It can be in New York, it can be like when you're on tour or something like that, but what is your like go-to restaurant? Like you are done with your week and you want like a really great meal.
Oh, do I have to have what I have?
It can be like what I order on Seamless, I order.
I mean, it's interesting. When I lived up here, I lived up on 157th a while. And Harlem Public, hands down, so good.
It's the best.
Their peanut butter
burger,
like their brunch.
Yep.
It just was.
They're awesome. Everyone check out Harlem Public.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Harlem Public's so good. But now I've moved down to Upper West Side on like 87th.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this amazing place called Spring. It's on like 84th. Columbus in 84.
Yep.
I think
I know where you're talking about. It is in that area.
Yeah. And it's delicious. It's very, you know, like everything's organic and like locally grown and all that. but it's delicious, really good ambiance, really good, you know. I would say it's like middle of the road price range. It's not cheap, but it's not expensive.
Right.
It's, you know,
it's like a good day date.
Yeah. It's a good day date or, you know, just like sensible, you know, take your lover there for a little, you know, glass of wine and a salad, salmon or something.
That's what I do with all my lovers. So.
Yes, all my lovers. it depends on, like, what area of town.
Yeah,
I would say those
are
my top to based on like where I've lived.
Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. I love it. And then when you like, what's your snack? What's your, ooh, what's your thing? Mine is obviously wine.
Obviously my snack is wine. I would say there's this place called Westerly Market that is right near my theater that I go to all the time, and they have like everything, all natural, all that stuff. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But they have every kind of like smoothie you would want, every, ooh, kind of soup, yum, every kind of, you know, they have like a good array, mm-hmm, of items. So I hit up Westerly a lot of the times for my like between show snacks. And
that's great.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Well, Christine, thank you so much for coming on today. This was so great. We got to reconnect. Yeah. This was lovely.
Over some wine and some
who cats.
Who could ask for anything more?
That is perfect. So usually we go out and we just sing a little bit. So if you have cats, we have to do Jellicle songs for Jellicle cats. Jellicle songs for Jellicle cat. Jellicle songs for Jellicle cat.
Jellicle songs for Jellicle cat. Jellicle songs for Jellicle cat. Jellicle songs for Jellicle cat. Jellicle songs for Jellicle cat. We can dance
to the end.
That was
okay. all my freaks out there.
Right? I am so sad that you didn't get to be with us for this episode, because you and I met doing cats.
That's how we met. Yes. Oh my goodness. Oh, I loved doing the show that we did. I loved doing it so much, particularly because our director had a story
exactly
in mind, and she not only for herself but for all of us, she's like, okay, so develop your characters, mm-hmm, your allegiances, your things, to which I have to say, for once, the person playing Jenny Anydots, who's now my dear friend,
yes, Emily Grace Tucker,
she came to me immediately after that, and she's like, we are brother and sister
for life,
and now we're brother and sister for life. Hi, Em.
It really is like going through war together that,
yes,
you develop these relationships. I think that anybody who is in that production of Cats with us, I mean, I see a couple of our cast members on probably a weekly basis.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And we are still connected like we went through war.
I think that anybody who does a production of Cats probably goes through war.
Yes.
Like
in the best way possible. I mean, yeah, not that our production was terrible, because it was beautiful.
No, it was so beautiful. Guys, our set was,
oh, it was ridiculous.
An abandoned amusement park.
So amazing.
There are two things. One, we slid down a
tongue
of a clown. And two, there was not a kaleidoscope. What is the thing?
I have no idea what you're talking about right now.
The horse.
Oh, the carousel.
Carousel. There was a carousel horse right in the middle, and somebody could pop up into it.
Yep.
Here's the thing. Nobody got to do that except for me.
That is true. That is
true. Oh, her name was Jezebel. So I have a deep relationship with her. I miss her dearly. I'm putting a misconnections on Craigslist about Jezebel right now, guys.
Jezebel the horse.
Jezebel, if you get this, like, we will be together soon. Don't worry about it.
So, guys, make sure to tune in next week for a really special episode that Jimmy is going to head up, and get ready to hear his voice all summer long. Also, shout out to Amy McCleary for directing us in Cats,
and directing, choreographing us in Cats.
She's amazing, and putting us together. And
yeah, this is all because of you.
It really is.
This is all because
of
you.
It really is. Cool, guys. See you soon.
Bye.